I've had ministers tell me, I vote one party and one party only. I don't care who they run. Well, does anybody remember what Balaam wrote on? Now, we're nice, so we call it a donkey. But the scriptures are very explicit. And so let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of Balaam's donkeys running around. Okay, but they're not donkeys, you know. But we have something that's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for, because let me tell you something. If you'll remember, in the very beginning of the fear of COVID, fear, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Power. So I like to put it, He's given me a spirit of power. He's given me a spirit of love. He's given me a spirit of a power of a sound mind. And so when I function with that, sometimes I have to stop and think a little bit about some things. It's not that I'm forgetful. In 79 years, and 40 of it, over 40 of it serving God, I have a lot of information up here that I've studied, and I'm still working on getting this information from here to here. And so you younger ones, you've got information that I don't have, because you know how to fix a cell phone or a computer. And I look at it and say, you will straighten up in Jesus' name or become a speed bump in the middle of the street. Now, Chris, or if you're a Brother Bob, if you see a computer out there, kind of check before you run over it. And sometimes I have to say, wait a minute, I'm in charge. So one day I was going to tell, I'll show you who's in charge. And I hit the off button. It didn't go off. I unplugged it from the wall, and it didn't go off. And I said, what in the world is going on? There's a battery on that thing that I forgot about, that if the power goes off, I'm thinking, I have been. And so, but we've been given faith. And we have to decide, is faith worth fighting for or is it not? Because, like I said, in the beginning, in some communities, they told them, you cannot have prayer meetings in your home. That made the national news. It got shut down pretty quick. Or you can't have Bible studies in your home. Well, what are we going to do when they come? Because it's probably going to come. We've seen history always repeats itself. What are we going to do when they come with, and they've already got the IRS, 87,000 of them already trained in weaponry. What are we going to do when they knock on our doors with weapons in hands and say, we've come for your Bibles? Because they're liable to pull this, people. I'm telling you, we got to quit standing over in a corner hiding and saying, are we prepared for what's going on? Because the body of Christ did not realize what was going on as a whole. Did not realize what this bunch in Washington, D.C. was doing when they said, you cannot have church. But my Bible tells me in Hebrews 10:25 that I'm not to forsake the assembling of myself together as the manner of some is. And so much more as you see the day approaching. And verse 26 says, for if you sin willfully. So I had to make a decision as a pastor. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm not rebellious. Well, I've got a very strong will. But when somebody tells me you cannot, there's something inside of me that makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, and I become like a Brahma bull. I'm ready to go to the mat with it. And I said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. You can't have church. But thank God that our governor never did say for the state of Missouri. And our mayor never did say for the city of Anderson, you cannot. And I'm thankful for that. Mayor, Thank you. Give my regards to the governor when you speak to him too. That's thank him. And so we have to decide, am I willing to fight for what has been given to me, or am I just going to go over to the sideline and just sit there and be a really, really good, quiet Christian? Because God, I don't see any evidence in the scripture where it says, I've called you to be quiet. Now, I stand to be correct. Now, I'm talking about the King James and the New King James. Okay? I'm talking about those. Now, you might find other translations that says, well, you need to be quiet. We need to let people know where we stand. So we have to decide, is my faith, God has given me a measure of faith. When I got born again, God gave me a measure of faith. Am I willing to fight for this measure of faith and increase the measure? Go with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You have the teachings there. But it says, now faith, the faith that you have right now is what you're going to operate in. Not what you're going to have 5 minutes from now or what you had yesterday. The faith that's... Now, God is a now God. He's a now God. Everything about Him is now. And so when we look at this, we realize that the faith that I have now is what I'm going to operate in now. But I can increase my faith by getting into the Word of God. Why? Because Romans 10:17 says, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what the news report is saying and what my neighbors is telling me and what the government is telling me. No. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Now, where do you find the Word of God at? In the Word of God. What do we refer to as the Word of God? The Bible. And so look at your neighbor and say, the B-I-B-L-E is the book for me. Say it again. The B-I-B-L-E is the book for me. And we have to realize that if there's no foundation from the Word of God, then it can't stand. We're healed by standing on the Word of God with the foundation of that Word. Now, sometimes the foundations get a little shaky. I don't recall the country the other day, a 6.7 earthquake. And it shook. It shook the place. Now, I realize that the Word of God says in Hebrews 12 or 13 there, chapter, there's coming a shaking. It's not the world. It's not this earth. It's not this earth. It's not this earth that's going to do it. There is coming a shaking, but those things that aren't shaken shall remain. So we need to be doing an inventory of ourselves. Is there something inside of me? Is there something that's gotten in me that's not of God that is messing up what is of God inside of me? And you can't mix water and oil and get anything out of it to really works right. It really works right. I thought one time I was drinking out of a hose, and come to find out it was a gas hose that nobody had unhooked from the side of the thing. And I just went up there just... And I thought, bring something around now and I can drop a match on it. But then I thought... And so I found out right then, you want to be careful what you grab hold of and what it's attached to. And the same thing is with a cord. With a cord. You see something that's got bare wires on it? Check where the other end is. You might get a real shock. But it says, now faith is the substance. We need to realize that it's a substance. There's something about faith that is tangible. You can put your hand, you can wrap it in your hands and hang on to it. Now, faith is a substance, but it's in the spirit realm. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Never belittle anybody's hope. Never belittle anybody's hope. We hear people say, well, are you going to do this? Well, I hope so. Well, hope? Oh, hey, don't belittle their hope. Hope is the first part of faith. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That faith there from the Greek is persuasion. Persuasion. God is persuading us through His Word to step into that which He has for us. He wants us to trust Him. It also means credence or moral conviction. It brings us to a place to where He wants us to have reliance on Christ Jesus, our Lord, which is the Word of God. That substance is a setting under, like a support. It's kind of like that chair you're on has a support. Now, did you, when you came in here this morning, before you sat down in that chair, did you reach down and no, because you had faith. When you set yourself in that chair, it was going to hold you. Now, have you ever seen somebody sit in a chair that something happened that it didn't hold them? And people got a real kick out of that. But the person that was in that chair didn't think it was too funny. Because it was a real letdown, depending get me out of this one, Lord. Get me out of this one. And so when we think about this, we realize that there has to constantly be a support. Jesus is the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God is the one that oversees it so that it is what it is, and He supports it with every fiber of His being. It is supported by it. It is supported by the throne of God. It comes from the throne of God. And we must remember that hope is never inferior to faith, but is an extension of faith. Faith is a present possession of grace. Hope is confidence in grace's future accomplishment. So we loose our faith, hoping that whatever we're loosing our faith for, now here's where we get in trouble at. We mean well, but we don't have the foundation of God's Word a lot of times to loose our faith for what we're believing God for and trusting God for. We don't have that. And we get in a hurry. And then God gets blamed for it. Well, I've been believing God for a week. Well, what scriptures are you... Did you get that? I said that word. What scriptures are you standing on as a foundation that you're believing God for? I believe by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I believe the joy of the Lord is my strength. I believe that I have on the whole armor of God. And I've encouraged people. Maybe you need to go home and examine your armor from the Word of God. See what it is. When you look at that armor, I remember years ago, we hadn't been in this church very long, and somebody had a suit of armor, regular knight's armor, about this tall. And I'm walking through the church, and it's kind of dark, and I walk around the corner, and there it is, and I just put it all over the floor. There was pieces of armor all over the floor. And I backed up, and I looked, and I said, uh-oh. You know what I did? I got in my car and went home. I wasn't going to turn on the light and check it out. I just knew from the feeling of I'd hit something that was more than flesh. But it was an automatic response. And so what God's trying to bring us from this place, that kind of automatic response. I've been more saved since that time. If I see you in the dark, I'm not going to knock you out. Probably. No, I won't. But we think about this. We have this foundation that God has made available for us. And it's a foundation that is constantly being built upon. Constantly being built upon. You always are building upon this through the Word of God. And so when the shaking comes, that I was talking about earlier, when that shaking comes, you're just standing there. And I used to do a lot of weightlifting competition in the military. And first thing they taught us was put your feet about the width of your shoulders. You can flow either way you want to go. Like this, you can go back, you can go frontwards. And so that way you're more steady. I've watched people try to lift 50 pounds or 100 pounds with their feet together, and they just almost fall over. And I said, no. Put your feet the width of your shoulders where you're like this. And that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that we're properly standing so that we can receive the Word of God that's coming. Because let me tell you, people, Satan, he's not too concerned about when you get saved. Oh, big deal, they got saved. Big well. Let's just have a big whoopee-doozy party. They got saved. You bring Brooklyn in here. What, 3 years old? She's no threat to me. She's no threat to me. I mean, you know, I'd turn her over my knee, paddle over, see. But there come a day, and like I tell her brothers, there's coming a day that Brooklyn's going to be bigger. You better make sure that you treat her right. Sow the right seed down here so that when she gets bigger, she won't knock you out. And so what happens? When she becomes bigger, if I've mistreated her or mama or her daddy, and she gets bigger and she recognizes me as being the one that mistreated them, she gets bigger, she becomes stronger, she knows how to use weapons that are at her disposal, then she becomes a threat to me. When you first get saved, you're no threat to Satan. You're a babe in Christ. You're born again. You pass through the womb of the Spirit and become born again. But when you begin to get set under teaching, when you begin to study, when you begin to learn how to pray, then he begins to pay attention to you. We better watch this couple. We better watch this family. We better pay attention to them. So what happens? He never shoots his best shot first. He'll shoot a BB gun at you before he does a mortar to try to put a little sting in you. When I was a kid growing up, we used to, man, all of us had BB guns. We lived on a farm. We all got together. We could shoot anywhere on the body except above the neck. And boy, I mean, tell you, at the end of the day sometimes, we'd have whelps all over us. And finally, our parents found out about it, and we had whelps all over us. We had whelps all over us. You're doing what? Well, we're not shooting above the shoulders. You're doing what? And my dad told me, well, I'm going to take care of that. I'm not going to touch you above the shoulders. Now, my daddy was a pretty good sized fella. 6'1", 230 or 40 pounds and strong. He could lift me plumb off the ground with his foot. But whenever he got done with me that day, I never brought the BB gun out when the neighbor's kids were there. And he let them know that they wasn't welcome on the property with a BB gun. And so what happens? Going on. For by it, verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. The elders obtained. Well, if the elders obtained a good report by faith, then what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? By faith, we receive a good report. By faith, you receive a good report. I receive a good report. By faith, what did they do? They trusted God. We look back. I've been spending some time in Exodus, and I said, God, you surely are long-suffering. And thank God for Moses, or they would have been all gone. If you're going to take them, do me first. And he stood in the gap for them. Well, that's what God is trying to tell the body of Christ. Stand up, take your place in the gap for your country. The only nation on the face of this earth that has been founded upon the principles of God's Word. Now, Israel always was God's. Now, God let them know that my hand is not on you. But yet at the same time, we have one of the greatest pieces of paper that the world has ever seen other than the Scriptures, and that's called the Constitution. And our Constitution is in line with the Constitution of God's kingdom because it's based upon Scriptures, that it makes no difference what color your skin is, we're created equal. It makes no difference if you're a man or a woman, we're created equal. Everything about us is created equal. Some of us is taller, some of us is shorter, some of us is thinner, some of us are wider. But yet at the same time, we're all created equal. God is no respecter of person. What He'll do for you, He'll do for me. And what He does for me, He'll do for you. And those of you that's watching, what He's doing for us that are in here, under the Word of God, He'll do for you. But let me tell you something. He won't keep doing it if you're going to be rebellious against assembling yourself together.
Amen. That's right.
See, let me give you a definition of an excuse. Heard a man tell this one time, Cooper Beatty. At Rhema Bible Training Center, they called him Machine Gun Beatty. Because they said he spoke so fast you couldn't take notes. And one guy said he spoke so fast you couldn't hear him. Pew! But he said, let me give you my definition of excuse. Skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. And God does not accept excuses. God is, will you or won't you? Will you or won't you? No in between. Either yes or no. Well, God, you got a yes or no. But God, you don't, yes or no. Will you serve me or not? Will you serve me or not? Will you do that which pleases me or will you not? We need to get back to the basics in the body of Christ and find out that God says, that's it. That's it. When God says He will, He will. He's depending on us when we say, Father, I'll do what you want me to do. Be careful before you make that statement. Make sure that you're ready for it. I told him one time, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. But you know what I found out? I'm going where He wants me to go and doing what He wants me to do. But He's given me the desire to do it. He gave me the desire because I said, I'm not going to travel. And they're telling me about Ireland. And the Spirit of the Lord says, will you? And I looked at the people that was telling me about Ireland and I said, yes, I will. And they said, and Barbara looked at me and said, what? I said, honey, God's changed me. I will do what God wants me to do. And He gave me and I didn't realize what I was really committing to. Then He began to add to that going. Began to add to that going. And I'm thinking, I love it. I love it. I love going to the nations. I love speaking God's word to the nations, sending teaching to the nations. That don't make me any more spiritual than anybody else. But make sure if you're going to tell God you will do anything He wants you, make sure that you've dealt with what this flesh wants you to do. Because let me tell you something. There isn't very many places that I go there's a Big Mac or Burger King or Pizza Hut. They cook food differently than what we do. 6 weeks before I leave the country to go to the Philippines, I eat no rice. Rice there is staple like bread is here. And they found out that I like cooked rice. So anywhere I go, they make sure that Papa or Dad, he has cooked rice. They found out that I like tuna, the tuna belly off the fresh tuna. So what do? They go to the market and get fresh tuna. Get a piece about 2 inches or 2.5 inches square and about 2 inches thick, and they grill it. And I was thinking, whoo, heavenly manna. I said, God, I'm sure that when the manna fell out of heaven, it was tuna belly. It was tuna belly. I haven't found anybody that would deny it, but I haven't got any answer from him either. So we go back to basic Scientology, so to speak, not the belief. But go back to the basic here. For in verse 3 it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God spoke it, it happened. God spoke it and it happened. 6 times, 6 days, God worked. God spoke. And every time He said, it was good. So that brings me back to her, okay, I need to be careful what I speak so that I can say, it is good. It is good. And so what happens? Sometimes we have to catch ourselves, you know. It'd be good if we caught ourselves like this, pull the tongue out of the mouth, pour hot sauce all over it, and then stick it back in our mouth. That would stop us from doing those things like that. Well, we do it to the children. Do you ever have your mouth washed with soap? I'm telling you, soap don't taste good. I don't care what kind it is. It don't, you know, whether it be dish soap, bath soap, or soap. Makes no difference. It don't taste good. You can bake it, you can fry it, you can put it in the microwave for 15 seconds and it's still soap. Don't make any difference. And it don't change the taste. You can put hot sauce on it and it don't help it any, it makes it worse. You can put salt and pepper on it, it don't help it. But what happens? We're constantly framing our world by our words that we're doing that. For we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So what happened? What has God done? He has given us His Word. Okay? So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh, by faith Enoch. He walked perfect before God. He hasn't seen death. But he will come back. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So he has to come back. He has to come back. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But we go back to what we're talking about. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we need to understand God has a place for us to work, for us to function in, for us to operate in. And so this faith is taken from the Greek word pistis, and what happens? It's we're set apart unto God. Okay? We're not a part of this world anymore. We don't act like the world. Well, let me put it this way. We're not supposed to act like the world anymore. We've got an example that's set before us. Jesus came. We need to understand, remember, Jesus came as a man. He was born of a woman. He walked this earth as a man. He did miracles. He ministered as a man. He died on that cross, gave his life. He went through the beatings and everything, getting to the crucifixion of the cross. He went through that as a man. Oh, but when he was resurrected, whoo, it all changed. The picture changed. And everybody talks about Doubting Thomas. I've heard so many men. Years ago, I told a minister I knew pretty well, I said, we're going to visit your church, but if you minister on Doubting Thomas, I'm going to get up and walk out. Thomas was like anybody else. He wanted some proof. Except I see the prints of the nails in his hand and put my fist in his side. I will not believe. Well, how many times, we may not have said that, but how many times have we literally acted that way? Well, it's hard for me to believe. Well, quit making it hard. I'm believing that we're the healed of the Lord. I'm believing that we are so prosperous in the things of God first, and then that is manifested in the area that gets the world's attention. When we built this church 30 years ago, people was talking about it, and I said, yeah, but I said, you know, you'll have to admit there's one thing. I said, what's that? There's only one thing that this building on this property is compared to. Well, what is it? I said, the feed mill up the road. It cost more than this church did, but what else is there to compare to? But then I got to thinking, wait a minute. We're a feed mill also. Ooh, we're to feed people. We're to see that people are fed. We're to see that they get the right kind of food, the nourishment, the right kind of food that keeps them healthy. And I'm thinking, you know what? We're both in the same business. Feed. Feed. Only thing is, we don't grind ours up. We don't grind ours up. But we do expect you to chew on it. We do expect you to chew on it. Okay? So that, but without faith in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible. You know, that's a strong word, impossible. It is impossible. There's just no way in God's creation that you can please God without faith. You can make every excuse, say anything you want to, bawl, cry, squall, cry, and pout and everything else. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't do it. But what happens? There's a word in there, but faith, there's a word between them, without. Without faith. Separately or apart from faith. You can't separate God and faith. It's like today, people don't want the Holy Spirit. Well, then you can't have God and Jesus without the Holy Spirit. You can't separate them. You can't decide what you want God to do separate from the Word of God. God says, I have bound myself, finding no one any higher, any more powerful, any of other greatness to swear by. I swore by myself. He is the one that backs the Word of God, which is Jesus. He backs Him there. But yet He said, at the same time, Jesus has the right to sit on the judgment seat. He has the right. But oh, look at that throne that's backing Him. Woo! Behind that judgment seat is the throne of God, backing Him, supporting Him in every judgment that He makes. Why? Because Jesus said, I only say the things I hear my Father say, and I only do the things that I see my Father do. So He turns around and He goes to heaven. He said, I must go to heaven. I must go, and when I go, I will give you another comforter. Another comforter. Another one of the same kind. Identical. Identical to. That says, I only do the things I see the Father do. I only say the things I hear the Father say. Identical. So we can look at it. Jesus is here on earth, or His Holy Spirit is here on earth, and He's doing the very thing that Jesus would do if He were here. He picked up where Jesus left off at, and He's doing the very, 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 very same thing. Because He made the statement, I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say. So the Amplified reads on Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to Him, talking about God. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out. From the Hebrew word, that word diligently is applying pressure and energy. Applying pressure and energy. Wouldn't it have been wonderful when we got saved if God just reached down and just opened up our brain and took our brain out of there and put the mind of Christ inside of us, closed the brain back up? We would have messed it up. We would have messed it up because we didn't know nothing. We didn't know nothing. That's why you don't put novices in positions of authority. That's why you don't put novices where they can help make decisions. Listen to me. In this church, we have a policy. Before you're here 6 months, you're not allowed to do anything. We're getting to know you. You're getting to know us. It's worked for us for 40 years. We've had people get upset about, well, God sent me here to minister. I said, okay. God sent me here to help. Okay. And finally, I said, let me tell you what our policy is, and God has always honored it. We want you here 6 months so we get to know you. You know how we worship God. You know how we do things. You know what we believe. You ever go into a place that you... Well, I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said, you need to pray for my youngest son. I said, why is it? And said, well, we're getting him back in church. He lives in another state. Said he's getting him back in church, but he went to this church. And so The pastor come back there to him. And he said, "You're new here." And he said, "Yeah." "Well," he said, "you're not allowed to be here unless you pay." He said, "What?" "You have to pay to be here. So there's an entry fee, so to speak. And then you have to be a tither, and we're going to check to make sure you're a tither if you're going to be here." I said, "What did your son do?" He said, "He got up and walked out." He said, "I'm not paying anybody to be a part of a church. I believe in tithing, and I'm a tither. But," he said, "I have to pay an entrance fee to come to the church?" I thought, boy, we haven't done that one yet. Or we haven't even been accused of that one yet. Doggone, we got to go back to the drawing board. No, we don't operate that way. But what happens? Things have changed. Things have changed. The body of Christ has different thinking as a whole. And any time we depart from this book right here, look out. And I promise you, we do our best to stay with the pages of this book. And if I'm wrong in any area, I'm open for correction. But I'd like for you to be done in love, you know. I don't intend to teach wrong. I don't intend to teach wrong, but I have an open door policy. Don't run to everybody else if you've got a problem with what I'm saying. Come to me. I'm the horse that's got the mouth. Come to me and let us talk about it. Why is that? Well, listen to this. Listen. Now, I don't use this all the time, but I want you to listen to the Message translation of Hebrews 11:6. Listen to this. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that He exists and that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. Now, I kind of like that. That lets me know I believe that God is. I believe there is a God. I believed that before I ever became a Christian, before I ever received Jesus as my Lord. My pastor told me one day, well, he wasn't my pastor at that time. He told me one day, maybe you need to quit looking at people and start looking to God. And he knew enough to start backing up from me when he said that, because I'd just lay him out in a minute. But he backed up and he said, that's just something to think about. And you know what? I started looking to God. And I looked around at the creation. I used to build machines when I was into machining. We used to build machines that made BBs. BBs. And I had a man tell me, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. I said, take this piece of steel about this long and make a BB out of it. You can do so much. Make a BB out of that. Well, what do you mean? I said, I build machines and assemble them that make BBs for Daisy Air Rifle down in Rogers, Arkansas. But I said, we have to have a machine that does that. So if you can do all of these things, here's this piece of metal. I want you to sit there and look at it and say, BBB. BBB. There's three other things that goes with BBB. We won't go into that. But he said, well, I can't do it. And I said, then, how can you tell me then that there's not a God that creates trees, creates birds? And then I said, some engineer comes around and criticizes a bumblebee because it's not supposed to be able to fly. Well, God created the bumblebee to fly, so therefore he can fly because of the size, a proportion of his wings to his body. He's not supposed to be able to fly. But nobody told the bumblebee. And nobody talked to the creator of the bumblebee. Now, if you got some insight why God created a bumblebee, let me know. But it sure does raise a big topic amongst a lot of people. And how can a hummingbird fly frontwards, backwards, up, down, sideways? And I sit and watch the vultures up there, and they can only go frontwards. And they're bigger than the hummingbird. So theoretically, they ought to be able to fly any direction they want to go, shouldn't they? But they don't. See, God always has a reason. And let me tell you something. He has a reason for you. He has a reason for you. And you and those of you watching on streaming, He has a reason for all of you. You're important to God. God's hand is upon you. And He's saying, will you? Will you? And that's what you have to decide. Yes, I will, or no, I won't. Whatever it is. But He's not going to grab you, get you saved today, and put you in the ministry tomorrow. It don't work that way. Because I remember when I was saved, I believed in a God. And I believed there was a God. In fact, I knew that there was a God. But when I got saved, I was dumber than a rock on God. Because every time I tried to study the Word of God, I wound up over there again in Romans chapter 7. And I told Bart, that Paul fella, he's as screwed up as I am. She said, what do you mean? I said, he said, the things I don't want to do, I do. Well, I'm doing that. And the things that I want to do, I don't do. Oh, wicked man that I am, who shall deliver me from, I think, okay, maybe he's not as screwed up as I thought he was. Because he knew where to go to get deliverance. He knew where to go to. And if it worked for Paul, it'll work for moi. It'll work for me. So I went there. And I stayed away from Romans chapter 7. I stayed away from there for a long time. And then one day, I'm sitting in the living room. And I'm reading the Bible. And I said, now I understand. Barb come in from the kitchen. She said, what are you talking about? I said, I understand. She said, what do you understand? I said, Romans chapter 7. Paul wasn't messed up. He had that five-letter word. Yeah, five letters. F-L-E-S-H. Flesh. Look at your neighbor. That person around you, they have F-L-E-S-H. That's what gives us the right to live here. This is our earth suit. But when we're born again, it's from within. And the one from within begins to work on the one that was without. And bringing that without into alignment with that which is within. And the next thing you know, the two come together and they begin to flow together. But yet at the same time, we got to remember, we still have F-L-E-S-H. Flesh. Sometimes, come here. Pull your sleeve up there if you would, please. Turn around here. I want them to see. Now, sometimes, are you with me? You're about watching me? Sometimes we just really want to grab hold and... But we don't. Thank you. We don't. Why? We want to bite and devour one another. But that's not God's purpose. We recognize, I have flesh. Chris has flesh. Mary has flesh. Lisa has flesh. We all have... All God's children has flesh. Some of us more than others. Some of us look at our... Never mind. But we all have flesh. And I'm telling you what, we're going to have flesh as long as we're on this earth. And it's going to be contentious with us as long as we're on earth. Brother Hagin said, people, you never get so spiritual that you don't have flesh. And I thought, whoa. Somebody needs to listen to what this man's saying. You never get so spiritual that you don't have flesh. And so when we think about this, we begin to realize that this flesh right here is in a battle still yet with the spirit on the inside. And sometimes we have to say, flesh, you are not in charge. You are subject to the spirit that's inside of me. I control this. Through the spirit, or I can control this through the flesh. And we have to realize that person that so irritates us sometimes has flesh. And we have to say, how can I help with that flesh? How can I help with that person? First off, we start praying for them. We lift them up in prayer. When it comes to something coming against me, I have authority for it. I said, I bind that evil spirit that's coming against me. It'll not come against me in Jesus' name. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to minister to that person. They're just wasting their energy and their effort and their temper and everything else trying to come against me, because it ain't going to happen. Now, I've never found the word ain't in the Bible, but, you know, we're from McDonald County and we grew up in Southwest Missouri, and we ain't going to do it. It's just that simple. Ain't. Look at your neighbor and say, ain't. Yeah. Just stay out of this, teacher. I'll come to your class and walk through there and say, little children, say, ain't. She ain't. And one of them would jump up and say, are you an ant? A-N-T. No, but we realize, listen to me. We take the Word of God and we begin to put it into action first. Did you get that? First, concerning this. Ourselves. Amen. Before we can really point out other people's problems and their shortcomings. There's only one perfect person, and he's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And we're striving for that. But we need one another's prayers. We need one another's encouragement. We need to know that I've got sometimes I'll be working on something. I said, Holy Spirit, lay me on the best intercessor. I don't care what country they're in. Lay me on the heart of the best intercessor so I can sit here and figure this thing out. And I'll just sit there and keep my mouth shut. Sometimes it may take 10 minutes. Sometimes it may only take 2 minutes. Sometimes it takes all day long. But I said, I need an understanding before I go too far. You ever go ahead and do something and have to turn around and redo it? Is that fun? No, it's not fun. And so what happens? It's best to wait some for the one that has all knowledge and understanding of this. Remember when the man brought the demoniac son to Jesus, to his disciples, and they couldn't do anything for him? And Jesus come off the mountain, a man run to Jesus, and he told him about the son. And Jesus looked around at his disciples and said, how long have I been with you? Bring him to me. All he did was ask him that one question. But don't you know that one question really got their gears to working up here? How long have I been with you? Oh, ye of little faith. But he didn't say they didn't have any faith. It was little. What happens? We begin to feed that faith. We begin to feed it God's Word. And that faith begins to grow. And it comes from weak faith to stronger faith. And sometimes it gets shipwrecked. But we don't abandon the ship. We get back up there. We do what needs to be done to get that ship back in condition to sail. And then we come back up and we start in again. Too much quitting in the body of Christ just because something is hard. Well, it must not be of God, because if it was of God, it wouldn't be hard. Hey. Excuse me. Dummy. There is an adversary. It's not God. It's not Jesus. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's not your husband, your wife, or your children. It's the demons. It's the devil. That's your adversary. I pray over my community. I said, God, we're so blessed. We got new streets. Woo! Thank you, Mayor. We got new streets. But I found out something. You know, they repaved that whole block because it needed it. It was the worst in the city. They repaved that whole block. And I got to watching. Before that, probably 10 to 15% would stop at the stop sign down there. that come around that corner, almost like if I get going fast enough, I'll jump over that rough spot. But you know what happened? I've watched this, honestly, as God is my witness. You give people something to respect, and they'll start respecting it. They started stopping at that traffic, that stop sign down there. They come around the curve there. Only thing we got a problem with is some doggone motorcycles. I'm going to put a piano wire across there. No, I won't. But they love to come around that curve like that. And broom, and I'm thinking, they're louder than the train is. But you know what? I pray for them. Lord, if they've got earplugs in their ears, blow them out so they can hear what they're doing. But we're so important to God. God wants us to have everything that He has for us. But it's only going to come at His time. It's only going to come when He says so. I want, if you're here today and there's any kind of need in your life, I want to ask you to stand to your feet. I don't care if it's spirit, soul, body, financial, or social. I want you to stand to your feet. Because I'm telling you something. I'm believing God is going to bless this congregation to the point that we're just looking at it and say, I was talking to a man the other day. He said, "How you?" I said, "I'm so blessed of God, the devil hates me." And he stopped me. He said, "What?" I said, "I'm so blessed of God that the devil hates me." And he looked at me and he said, "Wow." And I said, "Yeah, wow. But I am blessed." Has nothing to do with bank accounts. Has nothing to do with that. I have the blessings of God. You have the blessings of God available to you. Now, I want to ask you to do another thing. I want you to lift your hands like this to heaven. Lift your hands to heaven. Go ahead, lift them to heaven. And I want you to do this. I want you to say this with me. Father God, I approach your throne this morning. And I surrender myself completely to you. I want to be all that you would have me to be. And I want everything that you have for me. I need it. Now. Not when I get to heaven. I need it now. I need it for my spirit man. I need it for my soulish man. I need it for my body. I need it for my finances. I need it for my social life. I am tired of being denied. So I am willing to come in and press in to the things of God. And I will have all that you have for me. I'm not waiting any longer. I'm your child. You're my father. And we are one together. We are family. All of those around me are my family. Those that are on streaming are my family. We will stand up. We will speak up. We will no longer be quiet, but we'll speak up the Word of God. And the Word of God shall go forth, and it'll accomplish that which you please and prosper in that which you have sent it to do. For you watch over your word to perform it, and you have promised it will not return unto you void. I am your mouthpiece, and I speak your word, and it will be manifest. I believe this by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, I don't know about you, but I sure like what I'm going on. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You've got the teaching right there in front of you. We're gonna stop right here, take that teaching home and study it. Study it. Your faith, that measure of faith that God gave to you, is worth fighting for. And if you're not willing to fight for it, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to fight, it's going to grow. It's going to grow. I promise you, it will grow. It'll become so strong. Hallelujah. Praise God. It will become so strong. I promise you this. I want to see you so blessed. I want to see you walking in such a relationship with God. I'm tired of us being denied by our own denial what God has for us. And I declare from this moment on, in the name of Jesus, we will, corporately as well as individually, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we will have on this earth what God has for us. No longer will we put it off. Uh-uh. God's not pleased that we postpone things, because I've never found the word postpone concerning God. But we have to lose our faith. We have to encourage one another. We have to stand with one another. And when we do, we're going to see miracles, miracles, miracles. And they're going to be in the spirit realm. They're going to be in the soulish realm. They're going to be in the bodily realm. They're going to be in the financial realm. And they're going to be in the social realm with people around us. Hallelujah. We are God's best to do what God has called us to do. And we have an effect upon the community of Anderson, Missouri. We have effect on it. And we're going to take that effect and enlarge it. Just join your hands together. Just join your hands together. Just join your hands together. Come here, Lord. Hallelujah. By the Spirit, God is bringing us into the spirit realm of a greater oneness with Him and with one another. God wants to show Himself in a mighty way to us, and He's going to start doing it in our services. But not just in our services, in our lives and our affairs and everything that concerns us, in our families, on the job, in our communities. Oh, sikata leboto. Hallelujah. He's making us one right now. He's making us one. Come with me. He's making us one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need you all. I need you. You may not think so, but I do need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. Will you unite with us? Take him by the hand right there. Because I'm going to tell you something. I love you like family. I'd shake my fist at you if I didn't. But I love you, man. Every time in the morning, I said, God, I'm so blessed and highly favored that that man drives by the morning and honks and waves at me. Thank you, sir. You don't know what that does for me. I said, Lord, I need him. I need him. I need the two of you. I need you, little daughter. I need you. We need one another. Makes the devil so mad he can't stand us. And I told him, I said, you're not even spit to us. Did that go out on live TV?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Well, he ain't. Now, just lift your hands and give him praise. Praise him for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Oh, we just give you the praise this morning. Thank you, Father God. We are one together. We are one together. The corporate anointing is being increased. It's coming together. Oh, take me back down front here. Hallelujah. Boy, them legs feel like I'm rocking on rubber. They're strong. They're strong. Get him a mic. Finish this thing up, will you? Close this thing out. My God, my God.
Oh.
Sure, I'm lined up right. Oh, thank you, honey. Oh, my God.